I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, Episode 14, Women and the Priesthood. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Welcome to another episode of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family and family home evening. The gospel principles I cover coincide with a principle taught in the Come Follow Me reading assignment for the upcoming week. I also share a new teaching tip and end with a hashtag take time for family activity suggestion or a dinner conversation starter. Today's spotlighted review comes from Lindy Lou 31. She says, great insights, really enjoy all the tips. Thank you, Lindy Lou 31. I appreciate all the reviews I receive. Please, if you haven't yet, I'd love it if you would hit that 5 stars button down below if you're on the iTunes app, or leave me a review. It helps get the podcast out to more people, so thank you. Today's topic is women and the priesthood. It's one of the principles discussed in Come Follow Me for April 1st through the 14th. This podcast covers 2 weeks because we have General Conference coming up. Yay! So excited for that. So when you don't see a new podcast next week, you'll know why. This one is to last the next 2 weeks. Now, the topic that is actually mentioned in the Come Follow Me reading assignment is more about priesthood keys. It's found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, which I will cover today. But I happened to read an article in the March 2019 Ensign on women and the priesthood, and I felt impressed to take the topic of priesthood keys and go in this direction. Many times when sisters are invited to learn about the priesthood, you'll hear comments like, I don't need to get into that topic. It doesn't apply to me. I, for one, have been guilty of that. Until I studied further into today's topic, and I realized how that comment alone is one of the stumbling blocks that keep women from fully realizing the part they play when it comes to the priesthood. I have also realized that I have done my daughters a disservice for not fully explaining the priesthood to them and the role that they play. As Sister Linda K. Burton, former Relief Society General President, once said in regards to women studying the topic of the priesthood, she said, quote, "Sisters, we cannot stand up and teach those things we do not understand and know for ourselves," unquote. You know, non-members are always looking at the church and questioning the things we believe. How can we be a help in clearing up the confusion about women in the priesthood if we're not quite sure ourselves? Now, I would like to start today with a story from Elder Gary E. Stevenson, given in conference talk of April 2016, entitled, Where are the Keys and Authority of the Priesthood?
As the winter afternoon sun slid behind the expansive snow-covered ski hill, the freezing mountain air sharply bit our cheeks and noses, acting almost like a stern usher for us to find our cars and trucks in the ski resort parking lot. There in our comfortable cars, heaters would soon warm cold fingers and toes. The sound of the frozen snow crunching with each step we took confirmed that this was extreme cold. Our family had enjoyed a fun-filled day on the ski slopes, which was now coming to a frosty close. Arriving at the car, I reached in my coat pocket for the keys, and then another pocket and another. Where are the keys? Everyone was anxiously waiting on the keys. The car battery was charged and all the systems, including the heater, were ready to go. But without the keys, locked doors would deny entrance. Without the keys, the engine would not provide power to the vehicle. At the time, our primary focus was on how we were going to get into the car and get warm. But I couldn't help but think, even then, there just might be a lesson here. Without keys, this wonderful miracle of engineering was little more than plastic and metal. Even though the car had great potential, without keys, it could not perform its intended function. The more I reflect on this experience, the more profound this analogy has become to me. I marvel at Heavenly Father's love for His children. I stand in wonder at the heavenly visitation and the grand visions of eternity God bestowed upon Joseph Smith. And in particular, my heart is filled with overwhelming gratitude for the restoration of priesthood authority and priesthood keys. Without this restoration, we would be locked out from the vehicle necessary to transport us to our journey home to heavenly parents.
I love that analogy, how just as a key is what is needed to unlock a car so everyone, men, women, and children, can get in and enjoy the blessings of everything the car has to offer, its warmth, its power, and so forth. Keys are also needed here on the earth in order to unlock the priesthood power from on high so that everyone, men, women, and children, can all benefit. Matthew 16:19, it says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." It is through the keys of the priesthood we are able to perform the ordinances that are necessary for all of us to return back to our Father in heaven. Now, I believe it's important that we clarify what is the difference between priesthood power and priesthood keys. One definition is that the priesthood is the power or authority of God, and the keys are the right to use this power. Now, as you know, God's house is a house of order. We read in DNC 132:8, it says, "Behold, mine house is a house of order, saith the Lord God, and not a house of confusion." So priesthood keys help keep order within God's kingdom. For example, it is the bishop who holds the keys to call members within his ward to certain callings and set them apart for that calling. Now, the bishop of my ward can't call people to callings that live in another ward. He doesn't hold the keys to do that. Or in other words, the keys he holds does not authorize him to do that. He is only authorized to call people in his own ward. Priesthood keys keep order within the church and avoids confusion and misuse of the priesthood. President Oakes has said, quote, "Priesthood keys are the authority God has given to priesthood holders to direct, control, and govern the use of his priesthood on earth. Every act or ordinance performed in the church is done under the direct or indirect authorization of one holding the keys for that function." As Elder M. Russell Ballard has explained, those who have priesthood keys literally make it possible for all who serve faithfully under their direction to exercise priesthood authority and have access to priesthood power, unquote. How many women in or outside the church realize that? That yes, it is the men who hold the keys of the priesthood, but it is through them holding those keys that make it possible for all of us, both men and women, to exercise priesthood authority and have access to priesthood power. Now, as a woman, you may be asking yourself, well, what does it mean to have access to priesthood power? Well, let me share with you how Sherry Dew answered that question. She said, quote, "It means that we can receive revelation, be blessed and aided by the ministering of angels. Learn to part the veil that separates us from our Heavenly Father. Be strengthened to resist temptations, be protected and be enlightened, and made smarter than we are, all without any mortal intermediary." Unquote. So being able to do all that is through the power of the priesthood that we as women are personally given. When we are set apart for a calling within the church, we are given priesthood power. President Oakes has said, quote, "We are not accustomed to speaking of women having the authority of the priesthood in their church callings, but what other authority can it be? When a woman, young or old, is set apart to preach the gospel as a full-time missionary, she is given priesthood authority to perform a priesthood function. The same is true when a woman is set apart to function as an officer or teacher in a church organization under the direction of one who holds the keys of the priesthood." Unquote. How many women really realize the important part that they play in God's kingdom and the power that they hold? God's work could not be accomplished without us. Women in this church, we are presidents, counselors, teachers, members of councils, sisters, and mothers. The Lord is not going to leave us without power to fulfill our sacred callings and responsibilities. As I said, a lot of what I say today comes from a great article in the March 2019 Ensign called "Connecting Daughters of God with His Priesthood Power." And it's by Barbara Morgan Gardner, who is an associate professor of church history and doctrine at BYU. And in it, she says that when she teaches this concept to her students, she often asks the question, "If a stake is having a joint young men and young women's presidency meeting, who presides?" And then she goes on to explain that, you know, both the stake young women president and the stake young men's president were called and set apart by one holding priesthood keys, which that would have been the stake president. They both have the same priesthood authority and therefore neither presides over the other. It would make sense for them to take turns in conducting meetings. Another misunderstanding of the priesthood comes when we say things like, "The priesthood will now sing a song," or "We need priesthood volunteers to go to young women's camp." The men are not the priesthood. President Oakes has taught, quote, "We should always remember that men who hold the priesthood are not the priesthood. It is not appropriate to refer to the priesthood and the women. We should refer to the holders of the priesthood and the women," unquote. You know, when we do not make it clear that the men are not the priesthood, but that they are the holders of the priesthood, we are causing a confusion not only among ourselves as adults, but also to our youth as well. Men and women both play an important role in building up God's kingdom here upon the earth, and it is a priesthood-directed work that we are both fully engaged in, and we are both accountable for the fulfillment of those responsibilities. One of the ways I always look at it when it comes to men holding the priesthood and the different roles we play as men and women is this. You know, women are given the sacred power to bear children. Men cannot bear children. They cannot give birth. They don't have the power to do so. But are fathers any less important than mothers? I believe this to be the same with the priesthood. Just as only women are given the sacred power of bearing children, the men are given the sacred power of holding the priesthood. In both instances, one is not looked down upon because they cannot do what the other one can do. No one is considered of less worth. Men and women together have important roles and responsibilities that we must both fulfill in order to accomplish the Lord's priesthood-directed work here on the earth. We are as one, and we must learn to work together and be united as one. Elder Anderson once said, quote, "A man may open the drapes so the warm sunlight comes into the room, but the man does not own the sun or the light or the warmth it brings. The blessings of the priesthood are infinitely greater than the one who is asked to administer the gift," unquote. Just because it is the man that is asked to be the holder of the priesthood, that is nothing in comparison to the wonderful saving ordinances and blessings that the priesthood brings. Those blessings outweigh the fact that it is the man who is asked to minister the gift. Now, in conclusion, I hope that you will remember, one, the purpose of priesthood keys is to keep order within God's kingdom. Two, priesthood authority pertains to both men and women. And three, priesthood power blesses all of us. Women have full access to all the blessings of the priesthood, just as men do. And let me end with just one more quote, and this one is from Bonnie L. Oscarson when she said, quote, "Women of the church need to see themselves as essential participants in the priesthood-directed work of salvation and not just as onlookers and supporters," unquote. When I read that, my thought was, you know, as women of the church, we need to step it up. We need to realize the important part we play and the big role that the priesthood plays in all that we do. And I hope that all women out there will take the time to truly study and learn more about the priesthood power that they have access to, and teach it to your daughters as well. And not only your daughters, but your sons too. I mean, how important it is that they understand the role women play and the power that they hold. Hopefully, I can help you with that with my family home evening suggestion. But first, let me remind you, if you haven't already, you can go to today's show notes and sign up for my Teach Me Family Home Evening email group, where I send you an easy-to-use Family Home Evening outline each week that goes along with the podcast, making Family Home Evening preparation as simple as possible for you. Simply go to www.melanieslibrary.com/teachme14 to sign up. All right, for the opening song, you can do the primary song, "The Priesthood is Restored." And then for an object lesson / scripture, you can have different kinds of keys and have your family unlock different things, such as the house, a jewelry box, a safe, a car. And then ask, if I had a powerful and expensive car but did not have the keys, what value would the car be to me? And you can also ask, if I had a safe containing many valuable possessions but no way to lock it, how safe would the possessions really be? And then have someone read Matthew 16:19. And then you might ask, you know, what is the difference between priesthood power and priesthood keys? And say how the priesthood is the power authority of God and keys are the right to use this power. And give the example of a bishop who holds the keys of the priesthood to call members of his ward, but not of another ward. And be sure and explain how priesthood keys keep order within the church and avoids confusion and misuse of the priesthood. If no one held the keys of the priesthood, then no one could enjoy the blessings that come from the priesthood. And then for a lesson, play the video of the story that Elder Stevenson tells of being locked out of the car. The church has a really good one that they did of this story. Then say, just like in the story, even though it was the dad who had the keys, everyone in the family benefited from what the car had to offer, its warmth, protection, and power. And so it is with the priesthood. Men hold the keys to the priesthood, but everyone can enjoy the blessings of the priesthood. And then for a discussion, talk about how many times we overly associate the power of the priesthood with men in the church because they are the ones who hold the keys of the priesthood and administer the ordinances. But that does not mean women do not have the authority of the priesthood or that they do not enjoy the blessings of the priesthood. And read the quote by Dallin H. Oaks, where he talks about how we are not accustomed to speaking of women having the authority of the priesthood in their callings, but what other authority can it be? Discuss how it's not just men, but everybody who worthily accepts a calling to serve in the church and is set apart receives priesthood authority. That means everyone, both men and women, who serve faithfully are authorized to use the power of God in accomplishing their calling. And you can list some of the callings or responsibilities that women have in the church, you know, such as presidents, counselors, teachers, members of councils, sisters, and mothers. And discuss what ways that not only women, but also young women who are called and set apart in their callings can use the power of the priesthood. And you can use the example of a young woman who has been set apart as like a Laurel president. And some answers you could include would be, one, when conducting meetings and assigning prayers. And you can tell how one time a young women's leader once shared the following experience. One time at a girls' camp devotional, the speaker giving the devotional asked that the young woman in charge assign someone to pray. And the young woman shrugged and asked for volunteers. The speaker then explained that she had been assigned to that group by someone with priesthood authority. And as such, she had the authority to call somebody to give the prayer as led by the Spirit. She then paused for a moment and assigned the prayer. The young women's leader who shared this said, "I don't remember what was said because during that prayer, the Spirit testified to me of that true principle of priesthood authority, and I haven't forgotten it." Another answer could be planning activities. Using priesthood authority, she could counsel together with other members of the presidency, and she could allow Heavenly Father to reveal to her the needs of the girls in her Laurel class to know what activities would be best to plan. Three, participating in Bishop's Youth Council. When discussing a topic, each member of the council is exercising priesthood power by giving input that will help shape the outcome of the discussion. Different members of the council may receive different pieces of revelation, but when everybody contributes, the result is like a completed puzzle. Four, visiting inactive class members. As the president, she has priesthood stewardship over everyone in her class. That means that through prayer and counseling with leaders and young women, she can know the best approach to reach an inactive class member. Or five, teach a lesson or give a devotional. Even if she doesn't have the calling as a teacher, when she receives an assignment to teach, she receives a part of that priesthood authority from whoever assigned the lesson to her. And she will know what message will best benefit the girls in her class. And bear testimony that although women don't hold the keys to the priesthood, that men and women are both given the authority of the priesthood to fulfill their callings. And just like the video, men may hold the keys, but everyone benefits from the blessings of the priesthood. And then for an activity, you can play hot-cold game using a set of keys. Now, I'm sure you are familiar with the hot-cold game where, in this instance, you would send someone out of the room and everyone else would hide the set of keys somewhere. And it's more fun if you can find somewhere creative to hide them. Then you call the person back into the room and that person tries to find the set of keys. The only hint the other people can give is whether that person is hot or cold. That person is hot the closer he is to the object, and he is cold the farther away he is from the object. And you can also use words like lukewarm, ice cold, burning hot, etc. And if you have older children, a fun way to play this is to blindfold the person trying to find the keys. And then for a closing song, you can do the hymn Truth Eternal. Now on to the teaching tip. Do you ever read at the bottom of the Come Follow Me manual for individuals and families? They always have a little teaching tip that I enjoy reading. And today's teaching tip comes from the bottom of page 56 of the manual. And it says, quote, gather together often. President Henry B. Eyring taught, never miss a chance to gather children together to learn of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Such moments are so rare in comparison with the efforts of the enemy, unquote. This quote from President Eyring reminded me of a very powerful Relief Society lesson where we started out listing all of the things our children are exposed to on a daily basis. I mean, we started from the moment they woke up until they went to bed at night. And we listed everything from inappropriate music, ads, swear words, immodesty, everything negative and immoral from Satan that they are exposed to day in and day out. Then we listed how many times they are exposed to the things of the gospel throughout the day. You have seminary, if they go to seminary. You have family scriptures and family prayer, if you remember to have them. Good music, if they turn it on. It was a big awakening for all of us to realize how much more our children are surrounded by the influences of Satan on a daily basis compared to the gospel. So how important it is, as President Eyring says, to never miss a chance to gather your family together to learn of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, because such moments are so rare in comparison with the efforts of the enemy. All right, hashtag take time for family. The two most important ways to build family relationships is through one, spending time together, and two, conversation. With conference coming up, I hope you are making plans to gather your family together to listen to our prophet and apostles and other general authorities. Our family always looks forward to conference weekend, and each time I try to do something different and fun. Last October, I tried something new that the kids say they want to do again this year. I got a lunch sack and I wrote the names of the First Presidency and the Apostles, one on each bag. And if you're really creative and have the time, you could print out a picture of each one and put it on the front of the bag too. Then inside each bag, I put a fun snack or treat, a fun coloring page, or items from the dollar store, etc., stuff like that. And then they would wait in anticipation of who would speak. And when one of the First Presidency or 12 Apostles spoke, whoever it was, that's when they were able to open up that sack and get whatever was inside. So that's something new and fun you can do. For more great ideas, feel free to check out my blog post on Melanie's Library called Your Ultimate Guide for a Successful Conference Weekend. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening and enjoy General Conference. Just a reminder, because of General Conference, I won't have a podcast next week, but I will be back the week after that. And if you've enjoyed this podcast and found it helpful, please tell your friends. Also, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And I'd love it if you'd leave me a review on iTunes. Have yourself a great rest of the week. Talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.